Hello, my name's Janice Sutherland and welcome to another edition of Phenomenal Woman, where we share with you the success stories of women who have been there and done that. From the good, the bad, the ugly and everything in between, this is Real Talk by Real Women. We'll share with you the highs and lows of their journey and give you honest insight on how you can navigate fame with confidence, integrity and a smile. So on Phenomenal Woman, we love to share with you the different success journeys that women take to follow their path and their career to success. But and as women, we have many hurdles to travail, from children, family life, and relationships, etc. But imagine if to follow your dreams and your pursuits, you had to change countries. And that's what my guest this week, Wenday Wright, is actually doing at the moment to follow her dreams. So Wenday Wright, aka Wendy, tell us more about yourself and where you come from.
So my name is Wendy, and I go by Wendy because it's easier for people to, you know, pronounce my name. I am originally from Jamaica. I've been out of Jamaica since 2003, where I left Jamaica to go to law school, based in the Cayman Islands and the UK. I was there. I traveled for work. Many Caribbean markets. I used to work for Digicel. I've been to Turks and Caicos. I've been to Cayman Islands. I've been to Barbados. I've been to more islands than many that I can count. And I also left the Cayman Islands after living there for 7 years. And then I came to the States. And in all of this transitioning, it's a new place. It's a new career. It's adjusting to life with immigration issues. And now I've been here in Miami for 10 years. I still have my Jamaican accent. I still have all my Jamaicanness. And, you know, everything that has come along the way with the journey, I'm here. And yeah, this is what I am now. This is where I am now.
Excellent, excellent. So you don't regret a thing?
You know, I try not to have regrets in life. There have been many situations and things that have happened, but I think in the end you look back and you know that it happened for a reason,
right?
You know, you've experienced, you were meant to go to the Cayman Islands, you were meant to have this particular thing happen, and it prepares you for where you are today. And going through it, it's not necessarily the easiest, you know, but I definitely don't regret it. I think the beauty of my past is that I have friends all over. So, and Miami is a good place to be in the middle of, because anybody living in the Caribbean always comes to Miami or always has to connect their flight to Miami. So it allows me to keep in touch with many of them that I probably get to see once a year, or I may not be going and seeing them, but at any point in time that they're coming through Miami, they're like, hey, I'm here, you know, let's link up, let's talk and let's catch up. So I think that's something I'm very grateful for.
Excellent. So you said you're studying law at the moment. So what have been the key motivators for your career choice, Wendy?
Law has been a bit of an Achilles heel. It's something that I really want to do. It's something that I have excelled at without having all the qualifications in the US. It's what as long as I think people have known me, I'm like, oh my gosh, you should be a lawyer. But then when I started going to law school and doing things that a lawyer does, I realized that I'm not one of those cookie cutter types. You know, I'm a corporate person. I'm a very commercial and operational driven person. It's not just, you know, paperwork and reading. I get concepts, I get technology. So it's a bit of a challenge for me to try and find a niche. But I think now that I've come here to the States and I've realized that my horizons have been open to what we call like an in-house counsel, and what my skill set will bring to a company or any kind of corporation nowadays. I think I now know, after having gone through all that and having worked in a firm and it hasn't worked out, that I now know exactly where I want to go how many years later. Once I pass that bar exam here and I'm qualified, I think I definitely know exactly where I want to go and what the name of the position is and, you know, where I'll be.
So at the moment, correct me if I'm wrong. So at the moment you're working in a commercial role, mm-hmm, but you're also studying as well for your bar. So how are you balancing the two? Because that's pretty demanding.
It's time management is critical. Like I'm now starting to calendar everything. My reminder is probably my biggest the app I use the most, because whenever something comes to mind, you have to put it in your phone, because you're busy doing work, you have meetings, you even to go to the supermarket, the little things that you do on a daily, weekly, you know, I have to start calendaring things. You know, even when we made this appointment, I said, let me calendar it, because I don't want to leave it to chance of memory, because I have to write things down a lot more just to stay organized and make sure I stay on task, because there's never enough hours in the day. And then I also have hobbies. So, you know, it's just prioritizing and putting things down on paper and focusing.
So just expanding on that, you say you have hobbies. So again, like I said, you're working, you're studying, and then you want to have some downtime. So how do you kind of trying to evoke the work-life balance piece?
I think having gone through one of my past jobs and employers, I very much value the importance of work-life balance. It's something that I think is a constant struggle.
Yeah.
When you have, you know, demanding jobs, we all have demanding jobs. I don't have kids, but there's still that demand for work, and there's still that time. You want to spend time with your family. You want to see friends. You want to go out and enjoy life, even if it is going to the beach. So it's a struggle even for me, and I don't have all these things, but I've been very focused on it recently. Whereas I make time for like my yoga. I try very hard to make time for my friends, and it's something that I just have to continuously struggle with and just try and keep going. And the hobbies are good too, because, you know, I like photography. I'm getting into photography, and, you know, it's good when you have an hour of just, I need a moment of, you have to recognize this within yourself. Yes, if you're feeling where you're, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed or whatever, it's like, let me just go for a walk. Let me go for a jog, or let me go and grab my camera and take my mind someplace else. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that I recognize a lot more in my, when I need to do that.
Yes.
And even if it's 15 minutes, because you're never going to have enough time. Like everybody has. And just taking that time to turn off, to plug out maybe, or whatever is it that you do. So there are days when I don't go out and I don't do things for a week at a time, but there's nothing wrong with that, because that's just what life gives you. If you can't make a class every week, it's at school, you just say, listen, today wasn't the day, I'll go tomorrow, I'll go next week, and you just catch up back.
Because I think as women, we really underestimate the importance of self-care. And, you know, we get caught up, as you say, doing the day-to-day runnings, we get family, children, work, job, study. But, you know, I'm a big component of what I call me time. Mm-hmm. You know, so just take, as you said, that little bit of time just for yourself, just to catch yourself. Because I tell women I coach that if you're not there, what happens? If you don't take care of yourself and you're not there, what happens?
Mm-hmm. People who have kids, if you don't take care of yourself, who's going to be there to take care of you?
Yes.
You know, you have your family, even yourself. I mean, there are times when I have to just take a 15 minutes and just take a bath. It doesn't have to be, you know, going to the hairdresser or going to get your nails done. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But even if you're financially strapped and this is not in your budget for this month, go to the store, buy a nice bath thing, and just take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, listen to some music, you know, and just decompress. Yeah. It doesn't have to be anything, or it doesn't have to be nothing. You can even sit in your bed for like 5 minutes and just like zen. It can be anything that you need.
Yes.
And I think that's something that, as you said, self-care, where it's always like, oh, it has to be expensive. And
no,
taking away that definition to realize it is whatever you need or whatever you want it to be.
Definitely. You
know? And I think that's very important.
So what is the most satisfying challenge you've had to overcome, Wendy?
Wow. Oh gosh. That's the most satisfying challenge I've had to overcome. I think in the past few months, I've overcome probably everything. I think work challenge, probably because it's the most recent thing I'll say, but just enduring people that just are in your life to tear you down. I think overcoming that and going back and seeing them in their face and realizing that you didn't break me is probably something that I've never really experienced that before. And I think that's probably something that I feel so empowered, because I took away the control that you had, and now I'm like, I'm good. You know, I held my ground and I'm good. And I think without being a negative person, without being bad, and without just losing who I am in the process. I think that's something that has given me a lot of power and confidence in myself to actually believe in myself and believe in my capabilities. Yeah. And I think that was one that took me for a left field. And it's hard when you have people being absolutely negative and doing anything that they can do to undermine you. It's hard to harness that power within. Yeah. It's hard to believe in yourself, because you're like, and sometimes maybe it's a female thing where you say, well, am I doing something to bring this onto myself? Is it my fault? And realizing that it's not your fault. And again, I've learned a lot from that. And I think getting the learnings is also good, because there's always something. So what
I'm hearing is almost being a more of a toxic situation from a work perspective, and you developed some strategies that helped you through them. Could you share just maybe one of those? Because I'm sure there's women who are in maybe similar situations.
For months, one of the only, I didn't want to wake up and go to work. I didn't want to sleep because I didn't want to wake up and go to work. And I had insomnia. And I think waking up in the morning, I took 5 minutes to pray. I created a playlist of songs and started listening to motivational speakers in the morning on my drive to work. And I was jamming in my car, listening to different artists that says, the strongest soldier get the hardest fight, you know, be thankful in advance. I had a whole playlist that I listened to almost religiously every single morning. And that's all I did. I listened to the radio, I didn't listen to anything. So that when I got to work, I had to condition my mind to deal with it. And during the day, I listened to some of those motivational songs, you know, different people like Les Brown, and just trying to see the positivity in the fact that I'm grateful for my job nonetheless, because I need a paycheck. I know I know what it's like to not have a job. I've lost a job before.
Yeah.
And just try and find a way to learn. And I think I had good people around me who were awesome. And I'm a joker at heart, and I tried not to lose that. One of the sayings that I funnily live by, it came to me on Instagram, like, learn to laugh at the bullshit, you know, just laugh it out.
Yeah,
it breaks up the energy.
Yeah,
you know, and you don't dwell on something. So that was my coping mechanism, just being with people and laughing and every single morning consciously saying, yes, I will get out, but there's something for me here.
Yeah.
Something for me to learn here.
Yeah. Well, and thanks for that, because I'm sure that, again, there are women out there, we do jobs, we take jobs. As you said, we need a paycheck, you know, for whatever reason, and it's whatever gets you through the day. So kudos to you for finding the solution to get you through that. So dare I ask then, what has been your biggest career triumph?
Oh my gosh. I think just transitioning, as you mentioned in the beginning, across the different countries and having success in many different places, you know, finding a job, finding people, finding career growth, because growing up in Jamaica, like my mom, you know, it's, you have to work in one company for years and years and years.
Life,
and it's very similar for many people, no matter where in the world. That's my mother's generation. That's something that you were taught. So now having worked for, I don't know how many different companies, having left an industry for 5 years, went back to that industry and still finding success and career growth, I think has been a triumph for my entire life.
Yeah.
And I think, having that confidence to see that you can succeed anywhere doesn't necessarily, I mean, yes, you're going to have different challenges. Yes, I have an accent, you know, yes, I'm a woman, but I think that's probably really, because I didn't expect it to happen that way, I guess.
Yeah,
so maybe that's something that I can actually say today. Yeah, I've gone into a different industry. I've stood out and my career has moved across the waters.
So you become very adept at pivoting.
A pivoting.
So if you could go back and change one thing, and I know people say, well, you know, I've learned from this, I've learned from that, but if you could go back and change one thing, what would it be and why?
I'd probably have gone to law school right out of high school when I got accepted.
Right.
I probably would have not been doubtful of that choice. I would have because I got accepted to UWE, to University of the West, to doula, and I was like, you know, I'm not sure, you know, I doubted myself, and I think if I'd done that, I probably wouldn't be where I am today, but I think it would have put me on a different path. To go for what I want. But yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You tell that to your 18-year-old self who's like, is this what I really want to do for the rest of my life?
Yeah, you know, the little voice.
Carrying is like, you know, your carrying is like, you go to school for this, you have to do this.
Yeah.
There's no changing. That's what you're taught. But there are people who have, you know, business degrees who are artists.
Yes.
There, you don't have to be pigeonholed.
So you don't strive as a woman that has confidence issues. Yeah. So do you have any practical tips on building confidence then that you can share with us?
I do come off way more confident than I am in my mind.
Okay. So how do you do that then?
You know, that's a tough question. I think I have to boost myself up a lot. This morning I had to boost myself up. Like, I had to have that conversation with myself. Okay. You know, you have to, because sometimes your mind is so negative.
Yeah.
So I had to have that conversation and be like, you got this. That's my, whenever I have to do something that I'm nervous about, there's always that left brain and that right brain. Like, no, you can't do this. There's a like, shut up. You know, let's do it. You can do this. Like, I have to be like a coach to myself. Like, you know, that's the only thing that I really can say is I have to come outside of myself and like almost talk to myself. Listen to me. Tap, tap, tap. Like, you're fine. You got this.
Yeah.
You know, you're here for a reason. Yeah. You know, this is happening because it should happen. And that's something that I have to do every day. Going into a meeting yesterday to do a presentation, it was the same thing. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, you got this, you got this, you got this. And I just keep repeating it over and over. I sound like a crazy lady.
No, but that's great, because I mean, we can be our own worst enemy, the inner critic, that little voice, you know, it can be a bit of a bitch, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, it can be a bit of a bitch and you're going, oh my God, shut the hell up.
Yes.
Well, you know, and you have to know how to control it, because, you know, if you don't, it will control you. And as you said, you know, when you're 18-year-old self, mm-hmm. you know, you make decisions because you listen to that little voice that told you, know, oh, don't do that. You know, mm-hmm. and as you've got older, we get more adept at controlling it and managing it and challenging it. And it may seem, you know, you say it's not so much the crazy lady syndrome, mm-hmm. you know, it's just the fact that we acknowledge that we have this voice and we know how we need to manage it. And we deal with facts, mm-hmm. not fiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm going to put you back in your box. You know, I'm going to deal with lies.
Yes, I think you have to know when to turn it on. Because there are times when you want to think about something very openly and you need to have both sides of the situation, and you want that positive and negative review. But you definitely need to be able to say, turn it off and shut up.
Yeah.
I got this.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But it's not easy.
No, not easy at all. And it's definitely a skill we have to learn. And I think we learn it as we get older, to be honest.
Yes.
You know, we definitely learn it as we get older. So, Wendy, what has been a book that's influenced you through your career journey? Why have you chosen it, and what would it be you're learning from it?
I don't have one particular book that has influenced me. I think I don't have one particular book. I've read many different books, and there's not one that I can think of.
Okay.
That really spoke to me, or you know, there's different pieces of different books and situations that you can pick up, but I don't think one has really driven me.
Okay. Well, let me give you a harder question then.
Mm.
If you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why? Could be anybody, living or deceased, anybody. Who would your mentor be?
I mean, it sounds cliche, but I'll answer it twofold. One, I think my mom has been an awesome mentor for me. And two, I will say that there are many different men and women that I've come across in my life that I think have been senior, who have mentored, and I've been able to take pieces from each, I think, that have come across my life that I want to emulate. But I think my mom probably is one of the biggest, because she overcame a lot, and you know, being a single mom, and it's something that to raise a woman and to raise a strong woman and to always say no, you know, have confidence and to allow me to believe in myself. When sometimes I don't think she believed in herself.
Right.
And all the situations and the financial difficulties, and it's taken me a far way. And in that regard, I know how to deal with people, and I know that I need people.
Yeah.
And I know that people will have my back, because for her, just being without that village. So I found so many mentors in that village along the way, and I'm thinking about it now, and I could probably speak on one in every single way, shape, or form. You're obviously one of them now, which you know is super exciting, because you've gone for years, and there are many women who've worked professionally who you have to say, oh my gosh, how do you juggle this? And they'll come in and they'll say, listen, it's life is a work in progress.
Yes.
You know, between that and I think also my mom making me go, it's almost like she said, just don't be me. And she instilled that in my head, and I'm like, why? What's so wrong with you? And she's like, no, but you have to be better, and you have to go to school, and you have to do this. And elevate. And even in the midst of her circumstances, she's awesome, you know. And I mean, I definitely think, I mean, I could say Oprah, I could say so many people. There's so many different facets. You know, I read something about like Gabrielle Union the other day having issues with having kids and so many things, and I'm like, geez, I'm in awe, you know. I've listened to, like, you know, Taraji P. Henson, who says, I had no money, I had no this, and there's always, and it doesn't, there are men too as well. I think there's so many, and I like to read these stories of triumph and just the everyday life, because you can pick up something from every single person that you meet.
Definitely. And that's one of the tenets of doing Me Through Phenomenal Woman, is that I don't want you to remember everything or every person I interview. I want you to take a little piece away from that just resonates with you. And that's the whole tenet of having these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So, Wendy, what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
Wow, I'm a tough cookie. I'm definitely a tough cookie. I know when to turn on the tough cookie, and I know when to turn on the soft chocolate chip cookie. I think it's a balance that's needed, especially as a woman, because if not you're a bitch all the time.
Yes.
That's one. Two, I would say, gosh, this is a tough one. There's so many things going through my head. Two is believing in myself, which is probably one of the hardest things.
Yeah.
I had to learn confidence. Every time I go to another job, every time you take something on, I have to learn a new confidence.
Yes.
It's hard. It's not coming out perfectly, but I think allowing myself to learn and grow and become a different person when I need to is something that I'm also learning, that you need to do that to evolve and to
grow. Right.
That's what I learned. Oh gosh. Oh, what's the last one? I'm a smart bitch.
Well done. There you go. We'll take that. So, Wendy, what would you say your imperfections, and how do you embrace them?
Sometimes I don't like taking no for an answer.
Okay.
It's
not a bad one.
Sometimes I don't like taking no for an answer. And I think just accepting and moving on is something that I have to work on. And I work on it on a day. Imperfections. Jeez, there's so many. Sometimes I'm a procrastinator.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Sometimes I procrastinate really bad, and it's not good. Yeah. bad. People hate my laugh, but I love it. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Because I guess when you work in a professional setting, it's always, oh, you have to be like all buttoned up. And I'm like, So I don't know. It can be a blessing and a curse, whereas people look at you like, that's what's wrong with her.
Yeah.
But I treat it. Go ahead.
I said, I'm a big advocate of do you, boo.
Yes, yeah, that's so. Me. You know, but that's one of them. What else? I'm a stickler. It's a blessing and a curse. I need structure. So sometimes when you work in certain environments and it's not necessarily very structured, I don't thrive very well. So that can work against me sometimes. But I have to learn a little bit more to adapt. And so far I've adapted, but sometimes I need things a little bit too structured for other people.
Right, right. So how do you get
that? And that's into the BS. That's another thing.
Yeah. So how do you get some flexibility? How do you approach it? You know, because if, as like you say, there's some environments that just aren't structured, and I think we've both worked in those environments. So how do you approach it when it's just not quite, how do you approach it when it's not just quite right for you?
You know, that is a challenge that it's a moving target. I think what I've done for myself is take the structure as far as it can go.
Right.
Or as put in enough structure that whereas I can try to do it and be have my sanity, but also learning to let go when it can't happen.
Yes.
That's something that is not always easy, but there I just say, you know, this is as far as it can go. I'll take it here and just I just have to let go because that's not within my control.
Yeah.
And it will be fine. So I think that's a big thing, kind of letting go that kind of control when you can.
And that's something I think we struggle with sometimes, because there's a few things we struggle with as women. We struggle with saying no. And like you say, it's actually also knowing when to let go, when actually, no, enough's enough. This isn't going to work anymore. I've got to move on. I've got to change this. You know, for whatever reason, for me to be happy, for me to do what I need to do, it needs to change. Now, so Wendy, I'm going to almost finish. I'm always going to let you go. See you on the move.
No, my battery's not up today.
Ah, so the perils of interviewing across the seas. What's your definition of success?
Oh, that's a tough question. I thought that question might come. I think at this point today, it's weird that you asked that question, because before, I would have answered that question and said that success would be, you know, being married, having kids, you know, living in the white picket fence house or whatever. Yeah. But now I think it is, it's almost peace.
Right.
I'm just getting so we can see. I think now it's almost just having peace. I think I am comfortable where I am. So success for me is not a tick box. I think it's just being happy in my space.
Right.
And being happy with who I am. And that's what success now means to me. It's having the love of friends and family around me. I think I've come to appreciate, because I've had issues with jobs, it's a job.
Yeah.
To have a job is great, but you can also make money in many other ways. So I just want to be comfortable in my skin. I think that's probably my number one request for success.
Beautiful.
It's not a car, it's not a house anymore. It's finding that peace and being comfortable in who Wendy is.
Yeah.
And that will probably be something I may always have to work on, which I think is why I consider it success, because I'm going to have to keep evolving and changing.
Yeah.
And becoming a better version of myself.
Yeah.
So, yes, I want to be an attorney. And I put it into the universe and it will happen. But so much more, you know, that I want.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll do really, really well. I know you will. So, lastly, and I'm going to take you out of this. What does it mean to you to be your own hero?
I know that I am my own hero, and I don't think I could have said that before.
Right.
I think we as women tend to think, oh, I have to be the savior of the world and things happen to me. And, you know, a lot gets thrust at you as a woman, but there's so much power within.
Yeah.
And you can harness that power and you can be anything that you want to be. And Yeah, to be your own hero is dealing with those two voices every day. You have to say, no, I got this. And it's not easy. So I never ever thought I could be my own hero. In the last year, I have worked so hard. I've overcome so much. More than a year, actually. I mean, my whole entire life, it's been. But I definitely believe that we need to see ourselves. You know, it's almost like you need to do a cost-benefit analysis of who you are and see everything that you have inside of you. And I appreciate that nowadays. I must say that I it doesn't matter about the relationship. I'm my own hero. I got this. I will bring myself out of the gutter. I will be at the top. I will dive off. I'll do it all because I can. Yeah. If I want to, you know, and I'm there, you know, it's weird to even be answering that question like that, but I'm there like, yeah, I got this bitch, you know, I my back broad. I don't need to be everybody else's hero. It's like, why do we have to be everybody else's hero? Why do we have to be everything for everybody? Why can't we be that for ourselves?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very, very underestimated.
It is. And the power of that feeling is awesome.
Yeah, excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, I feel the power emanating from you, Wendy. I feel the power. I feel invigorated for the day.
Yes.
But that was my last question. So thank you so much for taking the time out this morning and talking with me. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm sure the listeners are going to enjoy it too. If anybody wants to touch base with you for any other job opportunities, who knows, how can they do that, Wendy?
My email is wendain@gmail.com. That's wendain@gmail.com. So hit me up, you know, I'll be available, you know, we can get in touch. And, you know, I wish everybody that's listening today, you know, love and light, because there's a lot of power within each and every one of us. And we all are here for a purpose, and we just have to harness that and be the best version of ourselves.
Excellent. And on that note, thank you very much. Thank you so much, Wendy. Thank you.
Thank you too.
So that was the irrepressible and wonderful Wendy Wright. And I hope you enjoyed listening to her interview and took away a few snippets of wisdom from it. So without further ado, it's my pleasure to show up here every week and connect with like-minded women like yourself, who want to live their life to its fullest and be empowered to take their career to the next level. I hope you enjoyed listening this week. And remember, you are the author of your own story. You control the narrative, and you have the power to give your life story a happy ending. So own it. If you have loved what you heard and you want to fulfill your own dreams and ambitions, visit janicesutherland.com for more information on how I can help empower you transform your dreams into actions. And please share this with all the other For Woman and Women you know. Until next time.